Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Divine compassion moved Jesus to minister to the hurting, needy, and outcasts of society. Those acts of compassion glorified His Heavenly Father, who is the God of Israel. When our hands, feet, or lips are moved with compassion, we too can bring glory to the God of Israel. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 7 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of verses 31 through 37.
Mark 7, beginning at verse 31 through 37. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. Yeah, right. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And in the King James, when you read the letters ETH at the end, it means he's continuing to do that. He continues to make the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And if you doubt that, look around and look forward. When Jesus performed the miracle of the healing of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, I noted that he was ministering in Gentile territory. In fact, when you look at the earthly ministry of Jesus, you find that he spent about 8 months in Gentile territory, ministering to them the gospel, ministering to them through miracles and wonders. Matthew 15 is the account given there that follows what we covered last week. And it says there in verses 29 through 31, and Jesus departed from there, that would be primary Gentile country, and came unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And so Jesus now moves out of the area of the Gentile, and he now moves back into the land of Israel. And we see that he goes from Tyre and Sidon to the Sea of Galilee to the region of Decapolis. Now, if you have a good Bible map and you follow the route that is given to us here, it's a very, very unorthodox route. It's not a direct way to get from where he was to this region. And there are times in your walk with the Lord, and in my walk with the Lord, that we will find ourselves traveling on what we would perceive to be indirect routes. But God uses, many times, indirect routes to get us to the place where we need to be most effective for his plans and purposes. And Jesus now is camped out in the area of Decapolis. Decapolis is the city, an area known as the Ten Cities. And it's in Decapolis that we find that he's now ministering among the Hellenized or Greek-influenced people. So it's primarily non-Jewish territory. And Jesus is here by divine design. Now, when we were in chapter 5, there was a man that was healed of demonic possession. Remember the man, the demonic possession, and the swine were swallowed up, and the demons came out of it. Well, when Jesus healed that man, he told him to go and tell everybody what he did for them. And that man did. He went out, and he began to tell people what Jesus had done for him. Matthew tells us in chapter 4, verse 25, and there followed him great multitudes of the people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So when Jesus comes to Decapolis, there were people already flocking to that area to hear him because they had heard about what he did for one man. One man who was touched by the Lord. And when you get touched by the Lord, you just can't shut up. I believe that there are two groups of people on planet Earth. Those who have a testimony of the saving, regenerating power of Jesus Christ, and those who do not. And you can tell the difference between the two. Because a man with a testimony of an encounter with Jesus Christ is never at the mercy of a man who simply has a theological argument. This man was healed, this man was delivered, and he tells everybody that he met about Jesus. And so here's a multitude of people, lame, blind, deaf, and he is brought a man that was deaf, who had an impediment of speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. This is one of three accounts in Mark's gospel that we find nowhere else in the other gospel. This man was deaf. And deafness, when it is congenital or when it occurs by the age of 2 or 3, always leaves an impediment in the speech because it's hard to form words if you can't hear the words. So it's normal for those who are congenitally deaf to struggle to speak when they cannot hear. In Israel, deaf mutes were categorized with the insane because the rabbi said, we have no way of knowing what they understand. And the Jews also would heap on the person that was deaf, if they had that kind of malady, this trip. You're in that condition because you're under the curse of God and you're being judged by God, and therefore you are unclean. And so there was not only this physical condition, there was this stigma that was attached to him that didn't come from God, it came from people. You know, it's the same old lie of the devil. You are sick because of sin in your life. Really? Well, let me say, beloved, that if it is true that we are sick because of sin in our lives, then I have been in an ICU unit and under eternal life support system for the past 45 years. Because there is sin in my flesh, and my flesh dwells no good thing. Maybe not you, maybe just the 8:15 and 11:45 service, but there is sin in my life. So connect the dots here. This man has been suffering a lifetime of disgrace, a lifetime of desolation, a lifetime of rejection. You have no idea what this man must have been feeling. But somehow, God had touched some individuals. We don't know if they're friends or family members. And they bring this lame man to Jesus. They beseech him to put his hand upon him. Many times in the Gospels, we see that Jesus imparted miracles of healing by putting his hand upon them. Imagine this morning, Jesus putting his hand on you. Imagine the virtue flowing from him into your life, the tenderness, the love, the compassion. By touching these individuals, Jesus was irritating the religious community of the day, the Orthodox religious community of the day, because he would be touching people that they deemed to be unclean. You can't come to our church if you're in that condition. We don't cater to people like you. That's basically what they were saying, which is why the multitudes flocked to hear Jesus, because he somehow liked people like me and you. And he loved us, and he would touch us, and he would associate with us. Jesus touched this man, and every time Jesus touches a person in the gospel, you know what you see? You see an expression of the heart of the Father. And what has really, I don't want to say impressed me, because not like Jesus needs to do anything more to impress me, but for lack of terminology, what has impressed me in reading through the Gospels this time through is that something sticks out like never before. And it's this, that Jesus never let the devil or his critics set the agenda for his ministry. Never. Because if you do that, you're never going to do anything or accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. He never let the devil, he never let his critics set the agenda for his ministry. He heard what the Father wanted him to say. He did what the Father told him to do. And in perfect love, he did it. And he just let the chips fall where they may. And you realize that when Jesus was walking on earth, a lot of people really didn't like him because he was healing people. So for a while, he put the medical profession out of business. He was giving people freedom, so he emptied the synagogues and they would be going out to him. So he was a wonderful counselor, so all of the counselor ministry was tapped out. Jesus is just a wonder-working Savior. And when you think about the life of Jesus, one of the things that I want us to never forget is that never think of what Jesus did as being in the past tense, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're so familiar with the Word of God that sometimes we forget how odd and strange some of the things that Jesus did were. For example, if you were dealing with deafness and an impediment of speech, and you didn't read what I was reading today, and you were to come forward for prayer, and you never read this, and say, Pastor Ray, could you pray for my aunt, my uncle, but whatever. You get the idea, right? And so I go, okay, I would love to. So first thing I do, I put my finger in your ears. Then I would do poof, spit, touch the saliva, touch you. You go, ooh, gross. We don't do things like that in this church. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. Here's this man. Think of this. He's been ignored all of his life. He's been scorned. He's been disdained. He probably has not been given real personal care and attention. Jesus takes him aside, and he wants him to know, you're not insane. You're not being judged. You just can't hear. And I'm going to make you hear. He's going to touch his tongue. He's going to say, you're not crazy. You're not cursed. You can't speak. And my Father is going to give you the ability to speak today. You're just not a face in the crowd, as far as Jesus is concerned. You're just not some kind of a church membership number. You're not a social security number. You are a person that has been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And you're either not saved, about to get saved, or you are saved. And God, when he ministers to you, he has your full attention. Now, I can't always say that when God puts someone in front of me that they have my full attention. Sometimes I'm distracted. Unfortunately, that happens on a Sunday morning. I'm talking to Ron, and for example, and then say my brother Joe or Steve walks me, and I'm looking like this, and all of a sudden I go from Ron to Joe, and I wonder what's going on and how much time before the next service. And Ron's probably thinking, oh, Pastor Ray, I was talking to you. No, no, no. When you go to the Lord, you have his full attention. When you call upon him today, wherever you are, it's you and him alone. Just you and him alone. Same Jesus, same miracle-working Jesus, same compassionate Jesus. So here he is, and he does this unusual stuff. Can you imagine seeing this for the first time? Now think of it. Try to think of it, honestly. Here's Jesus. Here's this man that's hearing impaired puts, and then touches his tongue. I have no doubt. This is just thus saith Raymond. So you know what that means? Underline it and say, uh-oh. Take it with a pound of salt. I have this feeling that every time Jesus did something unorthodox or unusual, the religious community of the day would have said, well, where do you see that in the Bible? That should teach us a lesson. That there are times when God will allow things to be done that you and I may consider to be unorthodox or unusual or strange. Be careful. Be careful before you pull the trigger of judgment. Jesus' ministry and methodology were called into question by the cold, dead religious community of the day. And so here he is, ministering to this man and looking up to heaven. Many have saw this as Jesus indicating to this man that what you are about to see is coming to you directly from my Father. And looking up to heaven indicates how Jesus was always in tune with the Father. There was a month or so ago, we talked about noise. There's the noise of the crowd. There's the noise of the world. There's the noise of the people. What we need to hear is the voice of the Lord. Calm in the storm. Father, is this what you want me to be doing? Is this how you want me to do it? Is this where you want me to go? And when Jesus heard from the Father, he didn't ask for a vote. And many of the things that Jesus did from the Father were not very popular. Think of it. After 3 years of ministering on earth, and there may have been a few others in the upper room, he had a church that was about a half a size of the people that are here today in the service. So here's Jesus moving powerfully. He looks up to heaven. He sighs. He sighs. He's grieving for this man. There's a sigh of grief, and yet there's this sigh of wonder because he knows that this man is going to be set free. And all that he's suffered and all that he's struggled for years, we don't know how many years, he's going to be set free. Jesus delights in setting people free. Do you know that? You know, the subject of healing and miracles is unfortunately a topic of great debate even in the church today, with some warrant, and some of it is just, to me, it's a lot of nonsense. Let me say this. The subject of healing and miracles are controversial, except for the ones who have been healed or received the miracle. When you've received a miracle or have been healed, it doesn't matter what anybody says about their theology. When you've been healed, you know, don't tell me that I wasn't healed September 28th, 1975 at 8:10 p.m. Don't you dare tell me. I don't care what your systematic theology tells you. I was healed. I know who did it, and I am so thankful for that. And you can debate me and argue me and send me a book that this is not for today. Bye-bye. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, it's not so much the supernatural, the miracle. This is the compassion of the Father on display. Everybody that Jesus touched, everybody that Jesus ministered to, we see often in the scriptures how Jesus was moved with compassion. He would see the multitudes, and he would be moved with compassion. Right? He would see them as sheep without a shepherd, and he would minister to them, and he would care for them, and he would love them. What a great, 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 great Savior and Shepherd. You know, the power of God is often released in our lives when you and I are moved with compassion. You realize that? When you and I reach out in compassion, there's a power of Jesus Christ that is released to people that are hurting. You know that. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. that can read this way: approved are those who mourn over their sins and the sins of the world. He said, blessed are the merciful. That can read, approved are those with a merciful, compassionate spirit. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And we're, as believers, given the Spirit to be conformed into His image, right? So He's our example. He's the pattern. So how will we feel this kind of compassion for those who are hurting or needy? I know of only one way: by going through life-wrenching difficulties ourselves. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, many of you have probably read this verse, highlighted this verse, memorized this verse. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many of you have experienced that today? Why does God allow us to have migraine headaches or to be smitten with cancer or to lose a loved one or to see a business fail? Why? Why? That's just life, isn't it? That's just life. Did you ever pray, Lord, use me? I'm sure you have. Did you ever ask the Lord to make your life count, to keep it from becoming mundane and irrelevant? Just a Sunday or a Sunday morning, weekend Christian? Well, let me suggest to you, beloved, that part of the answer to that question is that the Lord often allows us to go through difficulties in order that we too, like Jesus, might sigh for them, hurt with them, feel your heart, have a heart that really feels for them. There really is no other way. There's something about going through difficulties in life that changes your heart. There's nothing like going through something and ministering to someone that's going through the same thing. I want to give you an example of how I learned this right in this very church. I'll tell you, down in the Agape Hall, there was a sister in the Lord, and she was mega pregnant. It was in the summertime. I remember that. And this sister is sweet on steroids, but I could tell that she was just about ready to deliver that baby. And so El Pastor goes up to her and I says, honey, how are you today? Oh, Pastor, you don't know how I feel. I said, I know how you feel. She grabbed my shirt and says, you have no idea how I feel. Whoa. Right, ladies? Right? Right? No idea. Now, if my wife went up to her, right, and says, honey, how you doing? Oh, honey. Oh. She go, oh, Lizzie. Lizzie would say, I know. And Lizzie would say to me, those things that you've gone through, those hardships, those difficulties, whatever you want to call it, they're never in vain. I would never say that they were caused by the Lord. But the Lord will use those things to minister to others. You know, in the few years that I've been in ministry, one thing that I have found is this: that the most loving and kind and compassionate and understanding and forgiving people that I've ever met are people who have personally experienced the love and the kindness and the understanding and the compassion of Jesus Christ in gut-wrenching situations. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.